Like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. In his shade I took great delight and sat down, and his fruit was sweet in my taste. He has brought me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. Let his left hand be under my head, and his right hand embrace me. I adjure you, O daughter of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the friends of the field, that you do not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. Listen, my beloved. Behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The lovers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has opened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. O, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the sheep pathway, of the deep, steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your form is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom." Oh. Lord, we ascribe unto you the glory and honor that is due your name today. We ascribe to you the beauty and the riches of your magnificence, Lord. For you are the Lamb who was slain. Because of your blood, O God, we can enjoy this romance, this love relationship with you. Because of your sacrifice and your resurrection, we are brought into your throne room by your heavenly grace to see your face, to sit at your banqueting table, to respond to your love. For everything you have given us is a gift, and our response is a response of love. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the one who sees the little foxes, and you are the one who says, "Catch the little foxes," as they so desire to ruin the vineyard and those that are blossoming. Lord, we feast our eyes on you today, remembering that we are your darlings and that you're the darling of heaven. And these words of decree and declaration of our affection for you, reign supreme in heaven, in the courtroom of heaven, in the place where the legal rights against us have been ended. We allow our fragrant offering of our worship to rise and permeate that place right now, right now, right now, right now. Yes, Lord, unto you, the one who is slain, may we grow in appreciation and revelation of that abounding truth an unshakable kingdom reality that will take us where you want us to go. For without you, it will not be. We love you and praise you this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Look at Jesus. You know, when it's all said and done, do you know what really matters? Our connection with him in the throne room. That's what matters. The rest of it doesn't matter. The rest of anything that we're about really doesn't matter. Because he is shaking anything that can be shaken now in this season. Any area where little foxes have been able to enter and invade the vineyard, the fruitfulness of our intimacy with him, the fruitfulness of our lives, any area the Lord is saying, catch the little foxes so that we can enter him, into him. In John 17, that we would become one. That's what matters above all else. The degree of the revelation of the cross for us that we have is the measuring stick, really, for our spiritual connection and intimacy with the Lord. And I adjure you today that as you listen, if you decide to listen to anything that's being said, that you would hear with ears of faith. Without hearing with ears of faith, little foxes continue to run rampant in the vineyard and spoil the vine. And this day, I really believe the Lord wants to take us to a position, a place in our faith where our spiritual ears are so increased, our hearing is so increased, that where the scripture says the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, even though the foxes have a hole and the birds have a nest, the Son of Man here with us today, present in the form of Spirit of God, he's saying, I'm after your heart. I'm not after anything else. I'm not after anything else but your heart to see me. Unto the Lamb. It's all that matters. Not our degrees, not our classes, not even our outreaches. Everything needs to be birthed in this type of intimacy with the Lord, or it will be burned up. Be burned up. It's being shaken in this season. Being shaken. Nikki, did you find those pictures? We're going to release the children after these two pictures. I want you to see them up there. I've not seen them yet. But the one that I just read from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and little foxes are designed by nature to destroy the vine, to go into fruitful places and eat of the produce. I can't hear you. I would say the one that's eating, the cunning one. Yeah. Just take a look at this. I just read to you the very words of life that the Lord gave us. And Nikki found scripture. I just want you to look at these eyes. Please look at the eyes. Nikki just found this. This is what might live in your backyard. I know that these live behind my kid's house in the little forest back there. And we think, oh, it's a little fox. How fun with a bushy little tail. But take a look at the eyes. This is what lives there in burrows and berries and little holes. These are little foxes, God's creation. But this is exactly what the Lord's showing us as a picture that he used in Song of Solomon. A picture of a fox that's very cunning. It's very cunning and very, very easily used as a key of distraction. Key of distraction in our life. This by nature, a fox is designed to be sharp, shrewd, and cunning. And there's no Jesus in sharpness, shrewdness, or cunning heart, even for those who are wise in the worldly sense, to be able to go in and be carry the wisdom of God into the courtrooms, into our businesses, into our educational realms, into our medical fields. That's great. That's wisdom. That's not cunning. This is something that the Lord has for us, that God wants us to see. He wants us to see. Are we saying these are bad little critters? No, God made them. They're good critters. But they have a nature of being able to trap their prey and being able to look very carefully at what they're able to get, and they go after it wholeheartedly. And what's interesting about this is that a nice, non-assuming little animal like this is used by the Lord in Scripture as an animal that invades the vineyard to destroy the vine, and to remove the blossoms that are increasing. We just read that. Put the other one up, Nick, would you? In Matthew 8:20, it reads, Jesus said to him, in Matthew 8:19, then a scribe came and said to Jesus, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And here's Jesus' response. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to bury his head. Another of the disciples says, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said, follow me and allow the dead to bury their dead. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. Lord gives us another example of foxes. Did you put that other one up? Did you have it? Did you? I didn't see it. What happened? And so as we release the children today into the kingdom world, kingdom land, I have one word to say about the children, or to the children. And that is that the Lord is giving us, he's giving us the tools to raise up these little children to be able to stand against little foxes, to be able to understand the intimacy of the Lord. You may say, oh, they're too young, but they're not. And the Lord is giving us tools to draw them in. And I bless the children in Jesus' name who go into the kingdom throne room area. And I pray that what is deposited over the children today has nothing to do at all with little foxes. But truly, it's an invasion from the heavenly throne room into their realm of glory. That's the desire of my heart. And I pray that that is what happens today for all the little children. So they're released right now into kingdom land. Kingdom land, is that a fun place? Yeah. Unto the Lamb who sits on the throne, the beautiful Lamb who sits on the throne, the glorious Lamb, the wonderful Lamb, the Lamb who was slain. Those words right there need to stir us deeply. I can't make them stir us. I can't make those words stir me. But I can connect in with heaven and ask the Lord, how do you want to bring that to pass in my life, Lord? How can this become a reality? What actually led me to Jesus was one of the first things for me back in high school. I remember going to a class, and somebody said, the teacher in that class, in my Catholic high school at that time, somebody said, God is love. And I was being the challenging person I am. I said, I was kind of smart alecky, but not really. It was a real question inside of me, but I was too afraid to be able to be vulnerable and say, help me, I really don't understand. So I asked it in kind of a, you know, smart alecky way. So I said, so what is love, if God is love? Because I really wanted to know, who is God? Who is God? And so the person got real nervous. Don't know whether he knew the Lord. He taught about the Lord, some things, but I don't know if he knew him. And so he said, well, God is love. And I said, well, who is that? What does that mean? Who is God? What does that really look like? And he couldn't really answer me. And I became really frustrated and mad. And there was kind of a laughter in the class. And so, you know, I got a laugh from everyone. I wasn't really the funny one of the class or anything, but that was the way you kind of get through high school. You laugh things off if you don't know the Lord, or even if you do and you have little foxes stealing away your intimacy. But I did not know the Lord. Knew lots about him, I thought. Didn't even know that much. But I will tell you that it bothered me, and it kept bothering me for a very long time. I was bothered by that. Not so bothered that I would surrender everything in my life and know what to do. But the Lord took me back to that. And I think that today, as we have a revelation, it's amazing in this place for those who, that the Lord has given to Frontline in this place and first to individual hearts, because Frontline is a group of people. But I believe the Lord has revealed himself in some amazing ways and wants to continue to do so. But I do believe that he is looking for the individuals, the individual hearts, just to be able to grab him and join in to this extravagant, ecstatic, blissful worship where we can't even contain ourselves. We can't stop. We can't sit down. We can't just chill. We can't look at our cell phones and see what's going on. Unless we're looking at a verse, you know? We can't. We just can't, because we're compelled by the power and the glory and the wisdom of God. We're compelled of his love, by his love, to enter in. It's compelling love that the Lord gives us. This compelling love is so amazing. I just can't even put it into words. The Lord does in his book, but I can't to the degree that he is to all of us. And he's saying, this compelling love is so amazing, So amazing. What are you going to do with my love? What will my love look like for you? My love does look like something. What will my love look like for you and in you? The two verses that I just read to you in Song of Solomon and in Matthew about the foxes are really significant. Very often missed in Scripture. We might be familiar with them, but very significant because the Lord gives us a contrast of the two mentions of foxes. I was just thinking about that, and the Lord showed me those two verses, and I thought, tell me more about foxes, Lord. How do we get that in our life? And he says, anything that would steal your affection, your intimacy for me, 24/7, that's a fox. It's like, oh, don't spend your time going after foxes. Spend your time feasting at my banqueting table. Notice how much time in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 2 in Solomon, the Lord speaks about the foxes. He doesn't give us a chapter. He says, feast in me and on me. You are my beloved. You are my darling. And your time with me is well worth it. There's nothing greater. Nothing greater. We had an amazing time on Friday night, all night, with a few yawns, but amazing time, going into the third heaven, connecting with the courtroom of God, bowing before the Lord, laughing hysterically at 5:30 in the morning. Right, Josh? Oh my, some of you go, oh yeah, that was yesterday. Wow. And the rest of the day was quite eventful for many. I'm one of them. Yikes. And so supernatural power that God gives is just so incredible. And I just encourage you to come. To tell you how great it was is like saying, oh, I had this great birthday party. Wish you were there. So just encourage you to come. Come, come, come. Yay, God. Oh, that's good stuff. Can we open our Bible to 2 Peter? Oh, boy, you Mozambique people, if you're here. Woohoo! They love 2 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. We're going to go through a couple things. And put your finger in Galatians 2:20 and also Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and Galatians 3:1. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, he gave me a couple. Here's two more for you. You can write them down. I'll give them to you so you can write them down and be super prepared. 2 Peter chapter 1, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You're fast writers, aren't you? Aren't you? Oh, that's good. Galatians 3:1. And should I keep going, Lord? I think. It's just too good. It's just too good. These last two. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. And Matthew 13:33. You know what? I'm going to change my mind because I can. All right. Since I gave you a comparison about the foxes, let me give you another one just to show you how fun the Lord is. Because, you know, sometimes we think of foxes as being these horrible creatures. But remember, I read you in Matthew also, that the Lord said that the foxes have a little hole and then they can lay down, they go into their nest and they're nice little critters and they take care of their little babies. God made them that way, but he also wanted us to see their natural part of them, so that we are determined that our new nature will not have any fox-like tendencies. Amen? Okay? So the Lord wanted to give us that. So let's just jump up to Corinthians here, because there's another comparison. I found it very interesting. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Yes, Lord. All right. And Matthew 13:33. That would be a good one. So you can kind of go back and forth between the two. So good. That last, all the worship was amazing today, but wow. Unto the Lamb. Phew. To be in his glory and presence, that's just, there's no greater place. That was worth everything. Whatever that means, it's worth it all. just to be soaring in the glory like that. Wow. You saw a fox last night coming back to your house? Isn't that interesting? You'll probably see a few more foxes in the next day or so. Mark them down. Be aware. Ask the Lord. Say, is there any significance here? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to say? Beware of the little foxes. Yahoo! That's good. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, and Matthew 13, 33. Okay, everybody there? Sure you are. Here we go. Your boasting is not good. This is in Corinthians. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Wow. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. Just as you are, in fact, unleavened for Christ, our Passover also has been sacrificed. You are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover has also been sacrificed. I love this. I love these two verses. I am a new lump. Are you a new lump? This is great. I'm a new lump. I'm a lump of dough and also a lump of clay. And the Lord is coming and has been taking my life and shaping me and pushing out anything that would keep me from just being radically crazy in love with Him at all times, no matter where I am. If I'm shopping at Macy's, if I'm in the parking lot, if I'm going out in the neighborhood for a walk, if I'm counseling someone, whatever it is, the Lord says, you are a new lump. And you, I'm doing something with you. And I can see you in that process. He says to me, but I say to him, I can see you in that process. I can see you in my process. New lump. Call yourself a new lump. I am a lump. I am a new lump. Scripture says so. Look at this. But he's talking about boasting or pride in verse 6. He said it's not good. Do you not know that even a little leaven or a little fox leavens the whole lump of dough? Oh my. A little fox can spoil the vineyard. Listen to what the Lord's warning is for us. And He gives us those warnings because He's so in love with us. He gave a Song of Solomon and we read chapter 2 out loud going, He says, I don't want that to be stolen from you. I love that. How nice of you, God. Clean out the old leaven. That sounds like your mother when you're small saying, clean out the barn if you had a barn. Or your father saying, gather up the hay if you've got a farm or something like that too. Or whatever it would be. Or clean up your room. You have parents who say that to your child. Clean up your room. And if the child says no, that's not one of their options. Now, we can give them different options and choices and all of that and get back to that. And, you know, we can try to go the choice route. And sometimes I believe we take it to the extreme, thinking we're doing something very helpful for our child, because I'm all about choices. However, we can choice someone right to death and they can walk in rebellion. Not realizing how to use the scriptures, how to wield the scriptures in our life. Because the Lord doesn't say, clean out the leaven if you'd like. He doesn't. He says, clean out the leaven. Gotcha. So He's helping us get there. But He's going to give us new tools to show us how to keep ourselves able to be a new lump without any rebellious tendencies, any natural tendencies rising up. That's His goal. He's showing us. He's giving us tools to do that. And He's awakening us, I believe, in this season so that we can feast at His banqueting table. I just have to say, I don't even know how long we were singing Unto the Lamb. I was lost. I was lost in the glory. It's like, wow, Lord. Wow, I wasn't thinking, take the foxes out of me. I was just feasting on the Lord. Isn't that what we want for our children? Yes, it is. Isn't that what we want for us? Oh, my goodness. Don't we feel refreshed and renewed? But if there are little foxes, if there is leaven, we're going to look at our clock. We're going to play with our kids. We're not going to, you know, there's a time and a place. But it's not when the glory's falling. The Lord says, feast on me and watch what I will do. Even in your children, watch what I will do. Beware. of little foxes and leaven. You see, the Lord is saying, feast your eyes on me. There's no guilt in me. There's no condemnation in me. I picked up the microphone numerous times. I was going to exhort. The Lord said, you don't need to exhort anything. Just glorify me. I was like, yay. All right. I put it down. Even Isaac had it. Remember, Rach? And I picked it up thinking, I have a word. The Lord said, no, you don't. Put it down. You have to just listen. So there was this excitement going. I was like, yeah, save it for later. That's all he said. I do have a word. But he said, save it for later. All right. So if we don't hear the Lord, we're certainly not going to see little foxes. And we're not going to see the leaven. Kind of simple, I guess. Alrighty then, clean out the old leaven. Isn't that good? So that you may be a new lump. That's so fun. Just as you are, in fact, unleavened for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. I am unleavened. I am going to live that way, as though I am unleavened bread. In that sense, according to this scripture, that's how I'm going to live, because of Christ. Everything because of Christ. Everything because the lamb that was slain has risen. If he was just slain and didn't rise, we'd be here doing nothing. But he rose because of his blood. Because of his blood. How can we sing about his blood and not be lost in his presence? I just think, you know, when we get to heaven, for real, forever, you know, the eternal part of our bodies saying goodbye. I'm talking about that time, okay? Not right, that we can get to heaven now. I just really think that when someone says to us in heaven, holy is the Lamb, we're so ignited by that. Oh, we are just continuing to praise. We're in that glory. We can't stop. We can't even help ourselves. It's just absolutely beyond what we can comprehend. We can't not. If we came in here with, I can't not, no matter how I feel, I can't not, because little foxes destroy the vine. Little foxes might be nipping at my toes in the morning, maybe last night, maybe even during worship, maybe with all the, hey, how are you, to all the people who love to do that, which I'm okay with saying hello, but I think Jesus is worth more of our time, and we can fellowship another time. That's my opinion. And I think it's submitted. So clean out the old leaven so that we may be a new lump. That's really, really good. I love it. Let's look at Matthew 13:33. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. Look at you. Matthew 13:33 reads, oh, look at this. That's another parable about the leaven. I mean, come on, Jesus, you're confusing us here. No, it says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all unleavened. I mean, that's amazing. 3 pecks of flour. Let me read it to you in the message. God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman works into the dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits while the dough rises. Let me read it one more time. God's kingdom is like yeast or leaven that a woman works into the dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and then waits while the dough rises. How fun is this? So in this passage, I'm like leaven. The kingdom of heaven that is near is like leaven. In the sense that we're waiting and waiting and waiting in a sense of awe and expectancy. Waiting, but not sitting there drinking our coffee waiting. But waiting in expectancy of what the Lord is doing on the inside of us as we are a new lump. I am a created new being. I'm a new lump. And that's significant to me. Significant enough that everything else around me takes second place. When I'm in the presence of God, where I want to go into the presence of God, when I'm connecting with the Lord, mothers at home with children, fathers at home with children, mothers at home or fathers at night putting children to bed or whatever it is, our minds need to be renewed. Our hearts are being renewed so that we are leaven-like, but yet we are unleavened. because of the Passover lamb. He was unleavened. He is the Passover lamb. That's why they ate of the unleavened bread. And that's because we are saying that we are co-crucified with him. We are like him. We have a new nature. We're a new lump. And the kingdom of God comes close. The kingdom of God comes near as we recognize the reality of these things. It's like, wow. Wow, I want to understand, I want to know, I want to feel. And then when things happen around us, we don't crumble. How? And the Lord says, come, my beloved, you are my doe, you are my darling, you are my gazelle, and you leap into my arms. Oh, you're so simple. I think so. And I hope I stay. Simple enough to be a lover. Simple enough to find him. Try to find him. Search for him. In other words, wait upon him as my lump, my new lump, is manifesting him through me. He's just inside of me, and he's saying, I want to consume every part of you. I want people to see you in your eyes. I want people to hear me, see me in your eyes. Hear me through your mouth. I want people to look at you and say, whoa, that woman knows Jesus. There's something about you. I don't know maybe that much, but I know something's different. The very nature and character of the God-man, Jesus Christ, is being formed inside of us. Jesus in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Okay, that can sound very, oh, what does that mean? We don't know what the glory is, means nothing to me. I'm teaching a class in a week or two, right, Tom? I am. It's called Freedom in the Glory. Freedom in the Glory. I like it. It's going to be good. Four Thursdays in a row. Be here. 15th of September. Oh, 15th of September. He's always on plugging something. I don't even know the date. Yay. Love to have you. It's kind of a follow-up to Freedom class, but it's Freedom in the Glory. So it's going to be really good. Galatians 2:20. And you still have your finger in 2 Peter. I haven't forgotten that. So, don't think I have. Galatians 2:20. Let's just skip over there first. Yay, God. Most of you know this. I think I will do this lapel thing sometime, because I can go a whole lot faster. Okay. I want to read you out of mine. Isn't God good? Okay, those of you who know it, you can speak it out to yourself. Okay, I have been crucified with Christ. This is NASB. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Now, here's where I want to tell you. This is NASB, and it's okay. There are other versions that I think are more accurate, and I read the NASB. But it says, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's not untrue. I live by faith in the Son of God. But I also want to read you some versions that talk about living by faith of God, having the faith of God. In other words, we have to understand that even when the authors wrote this, it's not inaccurate. It's accurate. But the idea is that this faith of God has been given to me as a gift. So a more accurate translation says faith of God, so that we can realize that the faith has come from God as a promise, as a gift, and there's nothing that we can do to get it. It comes from heaven. We can't make faith. He gives us faith. So I am going to live because the faith has been given to me as a gift, and that's very significant. So I have been crucified with Christ, and it is now no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, you see me, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So as I was researching this, the New English Bible was one, and there were several other ones. I think I wrote them down. Maybe I didn't. Did I? I did. Yay. In the Common English, the King James has faith of the Son of God, faith and faithfulness of God's Son. And the Common English, New English, Darby, KJV, faith of the Son of God. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, in the contemporary, I believe, But another thing about that is that, wait a minute here, if this is the faith of God and he's given me faith, that means that he has made me a new lump. What is my job? My job is to receive. My job is to step into belief because he's giving me the faith to actually believe. Huh. If he's given me the faith to believe, that means that he is living in me and he's going to be coming out of me. And he's going to give me the understanding and the wisdom to even know how to raise my family. Why? Because I'm a lover. Why? Because I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior and I'm a lover. I am a bridal crazy woman. And therefore, the wisdom of God comes through the word to enable me to live this crucified life. When Jesus took it all upon himself, he took it all. Some of you have heard this. Many of you hopefully know this, that he took it all upon himself, including the unbelief, the inability that we feel to trust God. Even trust is a gift. Faith is a gift. Trust is a gift. A gift from God. I can't trust. You don't have his gift? Yes, you can. What do you mean? I just can't. I don't feel it. You can. I don't feel it. I don't have faith for this. It's the faith of God that he's giving. He has already released it. If he has given us every spiritual blessing in heaven from above, and if we really believe that in him there is no lack, in him everything pertaining to life and godliness have been given to us. If we believe that's true, then we believe what I just said. We may not feel that, but we must step into that. Why? Because if we don't, little foxes will spoil the vine. And our lump will stay just a little lump instead of being a lump that's being shaped. It's like, wow, thanks. You're pretty cool, God. Simple. He doesn't make it too hard. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, oh, I love this. This is one of my first verses when I got saved. It made no sense to me at the moment, and then I understood it. For by grace I've been saved, or you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Remember when I first became a believer many years ago, when I was given this verse, I thought, what the heck does that mean? I sang it. I memorized it. I walked it, I knew it, I taught it, knew every word and dissected it. It's like, yeah. Something in this really triggered my being way back. And it's like, why? What? Foundational for me. And then as the Lord peeled a lot of my own thinking off of that, he showed me, he says, you've been saved through faith, but it's not of yourselves. It's a gift. You've been, for by grace, you've been saved. Both grace and faith are a gift. Both. A gift of God. Well, salvation's a gift. I know Jesus is the great gift. I know he's the greatest gift of all. We know that. We celebrate him on Christmas. Yeah. Jesus is the greatest gift. No. These gifts that we're talking about are the person of Jesus. I want you to hear this. Jesus is grace. Jesus is trust. Jesus is faith. That's his nature. And he says, I've given you a new nature. I've given you my nature. You have a new father. You don't belong to the old father. You are out of that old family. You are in a new family. You are now a new lump. You are co-created now by me because you've been co-crucified. Wow. Created by me and co-created in the sense that he is allowing us to participate with his nature because we are partakers of the divine nature of God. That is precious. Beyond precious. That is amazing. What's the word? Extravagant. Oh, wow. You are so awesome, God. How can we not run in here or wherever? How can we not say, it's Sunday, I got to get there and be on time? Oh, don't get mad at me, please. I'm not talking about the clock here. I'm talking about our hearts. Everybody has their reasons and their whatevers. I'm not talking about that. So don't close up here. I'm talking about just who we are inside. What is stirring? What is stirring inside? Are you seeing yourself as this new lump of divine nature? Oh, can you imagine? And that the Lord is saying, let me out. Let others see me. I want to demonstrate my nature through you. I want to demonstrate me through you. I give you the privilege of having me inside. When we think like that, when we read those scriptures and meditate, I guarantee you, you read this at home, just these few verses like this, you'll be at home and your child will come. Da, 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 da. You'll say, I'm with Jesus. Because you can't even help yourself. I'm not talking about a child who's hurt and saying, Mother, I'm falling down the stairs. I'm talking about saying, excuse me, the King of Glory is here. He takes priority. We need to see some new things. Whether it's a child or whoever it is, it's the idea that Jesus is saying, I am in you and I'm talking to you. You are the head and not the tail. I have given you all authority on earth. No one is pushing you around in Jesus' name. Whoa, what? And I will give you a wise way to wield that wonderful authority, but I will show you how, because you are a lump. I love that. Yay, isn't this fun? Okay. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's that word boast again. Gee, I think we just read that, didn't we? Let's not boast here, guys. I think you need to see the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need that kingdom release so that leaven, if you will, is invading you. And then you invade this place. And this place is so on fire that people will come to the door and say, this is really different. But a good different. The good different. Okay, not a mixture. You see, what happens, the Bible says that when we have, you know, foxes and leaven in the negative sense inside, that there becomes mixture. It's like, you know, it's like having this, what is your favorite drink? Think of something you really like. Iced tea, blueberry iced tea. And it's like, you just kill for that. Not really kill. But it's like blueberry iced tea is like the greatest, with no ice for me, thank you. But then someone comes and they dump 6 teaspoons of sugar in it. Ew, he says. And he's like, ew, he's right. And it's like, ah, oh, you know, it just ruins it. It's like, ew. What if we came in here and went, ew? Not towards a person, but towards the very thing, the little foxes that infiltrate. This is worth going on the hunt, I think. Let's all be hunters after little foxes. I think that would be good. Interesting, right? That could be fun. Sure. 6 teaspoons of sugar. You become a lump that's plump. Yeah. Okay, now wait a minute here. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. So we're not going there. Okay, Galatians 3:1. This is one of my favorite verses too. This is a really good one. I've had this in my heart for so many years and I always found it very funny. Back to Galatians. You foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Who has deceived you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. That's amazing. What? Let's keep going. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Do you see that in verse 2? Hearing with faith. Hearing with faith. We're going to see that same phrase again, so work with me. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Verse 5. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Hearing with faith. In verse 5 and verse 2. Same thing. Just what I was talking about at the very beginning. If we want to hear the Lord through faith, we have it all, because that's the nature of the God that he has given to us when we were co-crucified with him. He said, you have that nature. Why don't you act like it? Why don't you live like it? Oh, I'm just trying. And the Lord's saying, no. He's saying, who has bewitched you? Foolish Galatians. You had the truth. You saw the risen Christ. You were eyewitnesses. You know the truth. And so we're reading this going, well, we weren't there, but we have the truth 2,000 years later. And the Lord says, who has bewitched you, O foolish Americans? Wow. I don't like that. It's like, I'm not bewitched. I didn't like that show. Hopefully it's not on reruns. That's, oh, is it really? You don't want to watch that. It's really, really dumb. But anyway, who has bewitched you, foolish Galatians? I really think Paul is so concerned about the people in Galatia. He's saying, oh guys, please, you're moving in a direction that's going to steal away your opportunity as a new lump to be formed into the very thing that God has created you to be. We're not things. But because of the new nature, don't let this go. You have had persuasive people around you. Now, some of you people in here, you may have some persuasive people that you even look up to or look over to. And the Lord says, do not be persuaded by vain philosophy and empty deceit, it says in Galatians. Don't be persuaded by any thinking of man. Don't be persuaded by man. Instead, you have been given the Spirit and been released from the law, as here we see in Galatians. Study it. Read it. Think about it. Oh, this is marvelous. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed or crucified? And I don't think Paul had a condemning bone in his body, did you? I think he suffered a lot and saw a lot. But he's so overwhelmed with the kingdom that he says, Galatians, wake up. Wake up. If you're bewitched, you're kind of in la-la land somewhere, and you've partnered with something that does not resonate with the kingdom. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven cannot invade as leaven into a body, a physical body or a spiritual body. Either way. Wow, this is wonderful. Lord, thank you for reminding us. Are you foolish? Verse 3, having begun by the Spirit. We began by the Spirit, and we want to maintain and grow what the Lord has given to us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now we're going to go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. A couple of things here to chew on this week. And I'm asking again if you are involved in children nursery or any children classes, which you would, you know, if you're a teacher, you're not there today. But if you would listen to the messages in this season, that would be very helpful. So I believe the Lord is wanting to do some great things with us, and he's giving us some instruction. Paul instructed. There's some instruction here. It's good. Take us further in the presence of God. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 1. I would ask the Mozambique team how many people have really gone after this chapter, but you know it. I'm not going to ask you that because I don't want to see your hands. But I hope you are. But we really tore this one up. We had a lot of fun with it. Took a while, didn't it, guys? But let's take a couple of verses here. I'm just going to hop around a little bit. In verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So he was totally sold out to the Lord. To those who have received a faith. Now they're receiving faith. And in King James and also in the New Century Version, it says precious, precious faith. For those who have received a precious faith. The precious faith comes from the Lord. This is faith that he has released. And he's talking to all people. He's no respecter of persons. He's saying the faith that has been released to you is precious, and it's for you. You are precious in my sight, and I have released from heaven to you, and you are able to receive it. And when you were born again, precious faith. I mean, precious. Think of your children. They're precious to you. Or think of a wedding ring. It's precious. It's a precious stone. Or think of something else in your life that you value highly. Very precious. And the Lord says, I want you to guard that precious release of a gift that I have given you of this precious faith. He says the precious faith of the same kind as ours. He's not saying I'm above you. He's saying, hey, this is what we get as a new lump. We get precious faith. I like it. This is the new leaven. This is where the fire of God comes. All through precious faith. This is through hearing. Precious faith. You're a new lump. Just call each other new lump. It's great. By the precious faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. I think we just quoted that. Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. You know, if you stood in the bathroom and you don't know this and you just started singing this out, you had your Bible in there, you look in the mirror, you know, and just start practicing, just start singing it out. Sing over yourself. Sing over your family or something if they're there. You know, you're in the bathroom in the shower. Sing these things out. This is who I am. I'm a new lump, but I get as a new lump all of this and start singing over yourself. This is amazing. This is just so good. It really is. Grace, I get grace and peace, and it's multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, my Lord. Oh, and his divine power has granted me everything. So next time you have a problem, just sing this out. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's good. Through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious, there's that word again, and magnificent promises on top of the faith, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, let me just throw this out to you. We have been given his divine nature at birth, at spiritual birth, but he tells us that we need to become partakers. You know, if my husband puts his hand out and he says, darling, let's dance, and I say, no, I'm not partaking in that romantic dance. But with my hand out and my arms around him, my love. I knew that was coming. I know him so well. That's how he is. And it's good. But I am choosing to partake in what is rightfully mine, because we are one and we are in covenant. I choose to receive. I step in by faith. Because that special faith has been released. It's precious. And I am hearing his draw by faith that is being released through me. You understand? It's a love response. And that's what the Lord has for us when he gives us the rest of the verse, the rest of the chapter to be looking at. He says that this precious and magnificent promise, these precious and magnificent promises that are coming, that belong to you, you are going to guard so the little foxes will not steal them away, because you will take who you are in Christ and raise up and say, no, that belongs to me and my family and my generation and my line, and nothing and no one will steal that away from me. And that will be so strong in you because you are choosing to partake of the divine nature. Because this divine nature has been granted to us. And if we are going to be bold enough to say that everything has been granted pertaining to life and godliness to us, that means everything. That means our marriages. That means our families, our future marriages. That means our finances. That means the glory of God that he's released in this world. He says, will you join in? And will you receive? And when you have an opportunity to worship me, will you worship me with all abandon, with everything inside of you? Because I am worth it. And you are a new lump. And you have the divine nature of God on the inside. And you will not feel sorry for yourself because you have me. And there is no pity party. He's in heaven. Hey, Sharaba. Ho, Shay. Ho, ho, ho. Yay. Holy. Yay. Alrighty then. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. For he has granted to us so that by them we may become partakers. How can we read this and not be excited? Oh, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust, we have escaped it. It doesn't belong to us. All the corruption in the world, all the lust in the world was taken away from us because of the cross. Do you not see how, Andrew, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go to college tomorrow, you walk in with who you are in Christ and say, this is the first time, and I'm walking in, and I'm taking this place for Jesus. And that will be in my heart. Beyond, I need to do this, or this, or this, or this. Okay? This is where the Lord says, grow up in your most holy faith. It's time to listen to my voice. Above man. Whoa. Yay. So, corruption. Ha, what a great word, corruption. Yuck. Corruption, corruption, corruption. Partakers of the divine nature, escaping corruption. We have escaped corruption. This is amazing. And the enemy is spending the rest of his days, limited as they are, to corrupt us. He's saying, I want to corrupt you. I want you to be so filled with what's happened in the past that you can't even get past that. And so that the corruption of the world is saying, I think I'll just come your way and stay there. Even though we've been freed of that. Freed of that. Every time we go into freedom class or we speak about deliverance or anything else, the Lord is saying, those of you who belong to me of the divine nature, now go and receive and be a partaker of it. Because everything falls underneath the weight of the cross and the resurrection. Everything. It's not hard. It's not hard. Oh, when the glory, we may say, well, what do you know? I've had some hard times. I'm not comparing hard times. Difficult times, challenging times, opportunities for the Lord to show himself strong while I'm crying. So I understand pain. I don't like pain, but I know there's gain through pain if we understand what to do with the pain. If we don't, if we hold on to the pain, then the pain becomes a pain, and we live in the pain instead of the gain. And that's what the Lord says. Be free of the pain so you can live in the gain and get the gain from the pain. Oh. Okay. If we really believe that we are... we believe that we've escaped the corruption of the world. Do you know what that means? It means the world will hate us. Oh, and you know what else will hate us? Little foxes. And little foxes and people won't like freedom. They won't like freedom at all. And they'll go, rah! You will not be free inside. And it will look like something else. The Lord says, have eyes to see. Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. And love someone to life. So the little foxes scatter. They scatter and they run going, ah, I can't be around that glory. Because I've escaped the corruption of the world. Because my old man is dead. He doesn't exist any longer. My body of sin is dead. Doesn't exist any longer. We have to keep reminding ourselves of that. How dead are you? You're dead. Are you really dead? You're not acting dead. You're really dead. You need to be dead. Oh, how dead is dead? Dead is dead. Dead means no life. So anything that gives our old man life doesn't fit my book and your book. Doesn't fit. It's like, no, you're a fox trying to destroy any intimacy with the Lord that I could have. Because the Son of God is looking for a place to lay his head down, we just read. Amen? Lay your head down, O Jesus. But there are little foxes. You can't. Ooh. That's a good word. The Lord tells us that how? I'm not going to read all the little qualities in verse 5 through 8. You study those, okay? Verse 9 says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Oh, my word. Peter, why did you say that? So if I'm lacking the qualities that are spoken of here as an example of what... how we can live that's being developed in us as a new lump because we've escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. I am blind and short-sighted because I have forgotten what you did. I forgot. that I was co-crucified with you when I came to know you. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. Forgive me, Lord. I need to live like that for that lump to start to grow into the express demonstration of the life of Christ through me. So when we close in just a moment, we're going to sing, is that okay, unto the Lamb. And we're going to sing with a new fire and a new flavor. And I thought it was over the top before, but now we have more of the word even to help us with some foxes maybe. And I just ask you to just do some fun business with the Lord. You know, I am not into this. Let me just tell you, just coming up with, oh, this is like horrible. I mean, I know that we have things that, you know, hurt us. I mean, I've gone to the altar crying, so I'm not saying that, please. But I'm saying, if you come with Jesus, I want to meet you. That's what I mean. I can't tell you how many times I've been at an altar crying. Oh, I understand. But come with this, because this is your portion, fellow lumps and lumpettes. Yay! Unto the Lamb. So rest of you, I don't know who you are, worship people, come on. We're going to worship the Lord. Now you take these words, whatever they are meaning to you, all the scriptures, and I'm praying you write them. Do you need me to read them again? Did you get the scripture reference? You got them all, right? Alrighty then. So just worship the Lord and see where he's going to take you, and go into that courtroom. Go into the throne room and have a good time and watch what the Lord will speak to you. As he's saying, let's be foxless. Amen? Great lumps of glory. I love it. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this word of fire. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are reminding us that we are your sons and we are your daughters and we are birthed out of corruption. And we thank you, Lord, that the incorruptible has been slain along with you, Lord, at the cross. That which is corruptible has been slain to give us the incorruptible, Lord, so that we will be able to live in eternal life right now, which is the abundant life, and that we would apply your word to our life, and that we would choose to believe, because you give us trust as a gift. You give us faith that comes by hearing as a gift. And we thank you, Lord, that the grace has been released as a gift, not of ourselves, and that we choose to extol you, to extol your name, and to say thank you, Lord, unto the Lamb who was slain, that as we sing of your blood, that we will be reminded, oh God, that because of your blood, we get to claim this precious faith, and this faith will be guarded, and no man can steal it away. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Let's be on our feet and worship the Lord, and let him touch us in the deepest places right now. Thank you, Lord. And if you have a fox or two or ten, give it to him. Kill it now in Jesus' name. If you want to give your life to him for the first time, just say, Jesus, I give you my life. You have done it all for me. Take my life. I receive you, risen Lord. Wow.
Beautiful Lamb in the midst of the throne, the worthy Lamb, glorious Lamb.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bless the name of the Lord for glorious, glorious, glorious day. You are risen, Jesus. We have your divine nature, Lord. We thank you that we choose to be partakers of your divine nature, oh God. Thank you for our precious faith. Thank you that you are the Lion of Judah, and you are the King of eternity and the King of heaven. We thank you that you are worthy and glorious. The Lamb that was slain, who was risen from the dead. The second and coming King, who lives today, who lives forever. The beautiful one, the one in the midst of the throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. God bless you, God bless you, Lord. You are so good. Wow. Show. Hey, wow. Whoa. Whoa, wow. The Spirit of God is here amongst us. Yeah. Father, we thank you for true freedom in the glory. And this is just a foretaste of what's coming. But Lord, we choose today to guard our hearts and the precious faith that you've released, knowing that you are the one who has sustained. You are the one who forms this lump of clay. You are the one who has initiated and released grace and faith and trust over us. And we give you honor unto the Lamb. We give you glory. Thank you for our new life, oh God. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord, that we will not tolerate little foxes. We will not tolerate anything, Lord God, to interrupt our intimacy. Oh. Hey. Thank you that we've been saved from the corruption of the world by lust. Thank you, Lord, that it was crucified with you at the cross, and that we will not partake of anything but your divine nature. We're going to kick it up in Stark County this week. We're going to have a booth at the Stark County Fair. And we're going to pray for people. And we're going to see miracles, signs, wonders. And the fairgrounds will never be the same. Thousands of people will go through whatever the name of that building is. And we need your help. I need you to give some time this week to have your body there filled with the glory to greet people. Pray for them.